The astronomical David Reneke. Did you like that, David?
Look, you're going to get a bigger check this week, Bilko. That's not bad.
Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You know what struck me this week, and I've been hearing in the news too, this so-called space force that Trump wants. I mean, is it pie in the sky?
Yeah.
I mean, you need money, and America certainly needs to spend more money on its internal, I suppose, safety programs. What's he trying to achieve? Does he want to be Darth Vader or something, doesn't he?
No, look, I think this guy's chest beating once again. His moniker was, or his tagline was when he came on board, was Make America Great. Well, he wants to make America great again. He wants to do what Ronald Reagan did in the 70s. I think he wants to introduce a type of Star Wars again, with a difference, of course. I mean, his ideals may be there, but the practicality of it is not possible. He wants a sixth arm of the military. He wants a space force. Yeah. Now he's got no backing from Congress, and the Air Force don't want it either. So this is something that he's barking for. He wants to try and do, but the problem is, as I said, you know, the Air Force is just not in ready for it. In fact, Joseph Dunford, General Dunford, Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
Oh, I know this guy. Yeah.
Yeah. He said he would. You know, they'd have to give up all of their duties to the Space Force, including preparing for war in space. So this is something that we don't want to see. We don't want to see a return, you know, to the Star Wars years. There was even a congressional push last year that tried to create that, but Congress flatly refused. Now, it's got to pass a defense budget bill, and as you mentioned, there's no money there for that. They just want to keep the space defense within the Air Force in itself. So it's unclear whether Trump can actually create a military branch out of thin air. But one thing's for sure, he doesn't have any support for it. And the Air Force have come out with a statement that they're against it. So the Pentagon is complicated enough, they said, and adding more boxes to the organisation.
I know you and I are interested in, you know, us moving off the planet, but seriously, we've got so many problems here to solve before we spend money on out there.
Well, yeah, of course, you know, and this is really not needed at the moment. There's no need for it. There's no threat. It will be an issue that will have to be addressed in the future, of course, but at the moment, you know, we need to work out a space law. There's no real space law. And when we get that, we can start to look at these things he's talking about now. But the militarization of space is basically where this would be, and I don't think that's a good idea at this point.
Good point. We've talked about this before, David. Space junk always causing hassles. Now there is some sort of harpoon that can actually get rid of that stuff. Is that right?
Well, yeah, there is. There's probably about 7,000 tons of space debris up there floating around. Now, engineers at the University of Surrey in the UK have come up with a harpoon and a net, and it's going to drag this stuff back through the atmosphere and burn it up.
Are you joking? A net like you'd
have... No, this is true. This is good. It opens up like an umbrella.
Yeah, okay.
And it's not a new idea, but it's been released to the International Space Station. They're doing this in steps. You know, the main spacecraft's going to release a little CubeSat. So they're going to let something drift away from it to a distance of about 7 metres. They're going to open the net up and they're going to try and catch a little CubeSat with it. In December, this is a group called Remove Debris. This is the what they've got. It's a plan called Remove Debris. In December, they're going to use a set of cameras to track a second CubeSat when they let it release and let it float away.
Yeah, yeah.
In February next year, they're going to try and fire a pen-sized harpoon into it to try and attach it, you know. And when they do, they'll deploy a drag sail, which will open up like a big umbrella. Now, that's going to eventually, you know, put so much drag on the thing that it's going to come down, drift into the atmosphere very quickly, and hopefully burn up. So what they're saying is that they can deorbit space junk or a satellite that doesn't work in less than 10 weeks, whereas before it would take you probably a year and a half to do that, maybe 2 years.
More space debris burning up in the atmosphere. Well, if they could do control burns, fair enough, but if they get out of hand...
It's finding and getting the stuff, and there's so much up there. You're going to be up there for quite a long time trying to find where these are and trying to harpoon each one of them. You know, I think collectively a big net may be the way to go, but gee whiz, it's a big area. You're talking about a circle right around the Earth itself is just full of space junk.
Yeah.
If we leave it, nature will clean it up anyway in the future.
Yeah, so nature will take thousands of years.
But it could take 30, 50, 60. You never know. We need it clean now.
Japanese, apparently they've targeted this asteroid we've been looking at.
Yeah, this is a great story. The little Japanese spacecraft called Hayabusa has now in its sights, only about 100K from it, an an asteroid called Ryugu. Ryugu is about maybe 900 metres in diameter, pretty big sort of an asteroid, and they're going to try and land on it. When they land on it, they're going to drop three little rovers out, three little remote control cars, if you will. They're going to pick up bits and pieces of the asteroid. But the real big deal is going to happen by when they fire this projectile. It's a 2-kilo copper projectile into the asteroid. They're going to fire it at about 2k a second. And they're going to have a look underneath the surface there. We've never done that before. We want to know it's in there. What makeup of chemicals have we got? Titanium, zinc, zircon, gold, uranium, those sort of things. Is it mineral rich like we thought it was? And they're going to try and grab a piece of this and bring it back here.
Well, that'd be now, good.
If that does work, yeah. They're going to rendezvous with this thing on the 27th of June. So that's what, tomorrow, isn't
yeah.
it? Yeah. So we'll know by next few days whether this is going to be successful or not.
Well, watch your news reports, because this will create some interest.
Yeah, it will do, yeah. And they hope to bring it back here. So we'll just wait and see what does happen in the future.
Gotcha. Now they're talking about floating robotic factories to build satellites. How good is this? I mean, literally, how far away are we from doing this?
This is already in operation now. They're actually running these sort of things on the space station there. Now, it's the time to go and buy a 3D printer. If you've ever thought of getting one, you can go now, Bill, here, spend all that money you've got tucked away in the bank.
My kid's school's got one already.
Well, there you go.
Yeah, I don't know what they're using it for, but it's there.
Yeah, well, look, these things are advanced now. There's a new group of young people called Made in Space. Now, they say that 3D printing is a way to colonise space, and they might be onto something here. What they're doing, they're making it quite practical and capable of launching a piece of equipment into space there that's got its own alloys, got its own plastics, it's got its cartridges, all the printing stuff is there. And it's a robotic arm that comes out, pre-programmed arm, with an inserted database of designs and ideas. And they say that this thing can actually build in space a satellite for you without launching one. Now, this is going to reduce the cost. They say they can launch 10 times cheaper than anybody else, and they'll also be 10 times lighter too because of the materials they're using.
Sounds like it has the mark of SpaceX on it.
I think it's a good idea. Yeah. I think somebody will take this up. Now, they're already running a similar sort of thing on the space station, making little components there. But the good thing about this idea is that if it does work, and it is a practical way of doing things, they can extend this to the surface of the moon, where you could turn out the fabrication requirements and bits and pieces, beams and things like that, to actually build a habitat. And even the same thing on Mars. So,
well, if you watch Star Trek, that's where they make all those those deep spaceships, is I think somewhere in the orbit of Mars or around the moon.
Right, yeah.
Built
and assembled in orbit around the Earth.
Yeah, because you have to assemble these massive entities off-world. You can't do them here and get them into space. It's too much energy. So.
Yeah, well, the space station was built piecemeal, bit by bit. So there you go. This is a 3D printer that can actually print satellites and equipment and that without actually launching them. So it's a brave new world, isn't it? It
certainly is. DaveRenicky.com has more. Check the website out and you can find out about Australian rocketry on the website as well. That impresses me, David.
Yeah, what, the rockets?
The rockets, yeah. I didn't know Australia had a rocket industry.
Yeah, well, there's a big look up your way, actually. Next year, we're going out to Outback Queensland, and we're going to have a big rocket festival there. This is once every 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
The last one we went to, they were launching rockets up to 70,000 and 80,000 feet. That's two-thirds of the way into space. These are big deals now. It's not little toy rockets in kits anymore. These are properly professionally built rockets that stand 7, 8, 10, 15 feet tall.
Do they attach GoPros so they can see how high
they
go?
Yeah, they do. All of that's there. The telemetry's there. Look, this is a really big deal at the moment. So anyone who wants to get involved with that, on my website, there is a link to the page there. But the big rocket go, the big expo, is going to be happening in the outback. It's way in the middle of the... Look, I've never been to a more remote place in my life. I don't know where it was exactly, but good God, there was just bulldust everywhere. I was part of the bulldust.
All right, Dave. Until next week, mate.
See you then.